My name is Trina Thiele and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for Anthony Gormley's One Another project. The date today is the 5th of October 2009 and the time is 5:30. Can you please state your name, age and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm Kira Camfield. I'm 28 years old and I'm from Belfast but living in... I really don't have anywhere to live at the moment because I haven't got a house. So kind of London, kind of Cambridge, kind of everywhere, Gloucestershire. I've got lots of homes.
Okay, well, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I've just got married 2 weeks ago, two weeks ago, just back from my honeymoon, and haven't really had the time to start looking for somewhere to live. So kind of sharing kind of flats with friends until I kind of either buy somewhere or rent somewhere, or I don't know, we'll see where the wind takes me.
And where does your husband live?
He works in London, he works in television, so he's in Kentish Town. So I work in Cambridge as a lawyer, so we're kind of on commuting territory, but we've done that for like seven years, kind of constant commuting, so finally we're living together as of yesterday, I guess.
And how was the wedding?
Oh, it was brilliant fun. It had like possibly the nicest day of all the year. I think the 19th of September. I had a wedding down in Gloucestershire at Hugo's house. They've got a lovely, lovely, lovely pad down there. So I had like a lovely marquee with lots of dancing, lots of too much drink, too much of everything. And had a wonderful time. We did this random, we were kind of about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we had the photographer, and he was like, oh, let's get some snaps. And he was kind of, photographers sometimes do drive you up the wall when all you want to do is talk and eat food and drink. And he was like, no, come with me. And he's like, oh, look, let's have this nice little shot on the swing, it'd be really nice. And it's like, no, this sounds really cheesy. And he goes like, just humour him, Kira, just humour him. You know, if you be awkward, you know, it's going to be worse. So I trottled off to the swing under this nice big oak tree, sat down thinking, God, this is going to be awful. And he said to Hugo, make sure you hang on to the swing when Kira goes to sit down. Hugo just disappears. I went to sit down in the swing, thinking that he was holding it behind me, went flying backwards, bang my head, landed. And so I've got a big muddy patch on my backside. So I had to like bustle everything up and get clean. But it was fantastic. That was even quite funny, but he didn't even get a photograph of it. Yeah, so
did you get lots of other photographs though?
Yeah, the cheesy ones, the wedding new ones.
So where did you find this photographer?
Oh no, he's great, like he's a really nice man. I found him in Gloucestershire on our website. No, he's great, his photographs are really nice, but they are wedding-y photographs. I like kind of quite quirky photographs. I've got lots of those too.
And we'll come back to that later, but first of all, why did you decide to take part in the One Another project?
Well, I didn't, strangely. someone put my name, my boyfriend put my name into it on my behalf. So I got this random, I was kind of getting these loads of emails from One Another, and I hadn't clicked that it was One Another, it was with the Anthony Gormley thing. This is a bit out of touch. And Rand was like, congratulations, you've been chosen for a spot in the Flint. And so I was like, Hugo, what? And he's like, yeah. I entered everybody's name in the Flint. I'm glad. But he is, it's great. No, it's fun. And he's jealous now that he isn't up in the Flint himself.
So how did you feel about that, him doing that rather than you, without you knowing?
Oh, okay, it was just, I'm fine, it's fine. You know, I would do the same to him probably. So, no, it's great. I would have probably done it myself had I've got around to it. But I'm not very good on the computer. Not very good at kind of keeping up to date with kind of computerized things. So, yeah.
And what will you be doing up there?
Because I've just come back from getting married. I thought, when would you ever get the chance to wear your wedding dress again? When would you ever get the chance to stand in the plinth and wear your wedding dress? And otherwise it just goes to ruin. So I've got lots of flowers, and I think I might make little bouquets, lots of them. I've got bunches of them just out there in the corridor, and share a bit of love to everybody else. And I've got a monologue, which I don't know if anyone will be able to hear, but I might say it anyway, but I haven't said it in 10 years. And I did it for my A-level drama practical. And I really wanted to be an actress rather than a lawyer. Strangely decided to become a lawyer. Don't know why. And so I've it's really hard with getting fit in time, doing any dramatics or any amateur dramatics. So it'd be a good chance to, even if I can, the only one who can hear it, at least I've done it. So I'm going to give it a blast. And cringe. I don't know all the words I had printed out, but I'm gonna see.
So where did you dig them up from?
No, it was because it was my A-level practical. It's always sat in my head. It's a monologue. It's from She Stoops to Conquer, which is a restoration kind of drama, and it's strangely about this woman who conquers a husband and how she managed to kind of tame a husband, you basically catch one, and it's quite apt and it fits in quite a bit. And the last line of it is actually quite funny, because I didn't realise this, but it ends up at the fifth act of her becoming a barrister. And so that ends what I'm not quite a barrister, I'm a solicitor, but like it's a similar type of thing. But I didn't realise that until I read it on the train again. I was like, oh my god, this is, because I just printed it off today. So I'll probably be atrocious. I haven't had the chance to rehearse it. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
And how did you go from studying drama into being a solicitor?
Well, they're kind of quite similar. Well, I always thought they were quite similar, because they both kind of get acting out and kind of, you know, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. But it is hard, like with drama, it's hard to like really, really make it. And you need a lot of money behind you to, you know, to push you forward in it. And you know, you might get one, you know, I came so close to getting some really good breaks in drama, but you know, if you weren't one, you weren't anything. So you got so close, it's not like anything else where you could be like one of, you know, a couple of people who are really good at something. So I got like second in a part of a film. It was like, oh, you're the kind of the next in line. And it was just like, well, that's the way it's going to be. I basically lost heart and didn't pursue it, which is a great shame. And then I, yeah, just a lawyer. So yeah.
And you said you travelled a lot.
Yeah.
To various places. Why? How did that come about?
I don't know. I lived in. I met at university. I went to university in Belfast, and then I did law and Spanish. So I spent a year in Salamanca, where I met Hugo, my husband, 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, nearly 8 years ago, and he lived. He was at university in Edinburgh. And I was living in Belfast, so we commuted there. And then I went to university then in Bristol after that. And he was still up, no, he's in London. And so we commuted there. And then I went over to Suffolk and I was living there doing my training. And then I moved to Cambridge, he's still in London. And so we just always crossed paths. But in a way, I think it's probably quite good, because I think if you're so young, you see someone so much, sometimes we might not have even been together, you know, you just don't know. So it's all worked out perfectly, really. So I've got the ring to prove it. So.
How does it feel being a married woman?
Weird. Well, not really weird, actually. It feels strangely normal until I look at my hand and then I get quite freaked. But it's weird, like signing off my name. Like I signed off my name in the forms as Kira Campfield, and I'm now Kira Mander, and so that's quite strange. Just I guess losing that freaks me out more than anything else. Just losing your name, and it's just a word, but it's kind of your identity that you've been born with, and you know, been part of that family, and now we're our own family. So it's strange, you know. But, you know, it's nice, really nice.
Are you close with your family?
Yeah, really close. Got three brothers, and we're quite a big family, big Irish family.
Are they here today?
No, they're not, cause they all live in Belfast, and say they aren't, but they're watching. They're going to be watching online. If my father can manage to work the computer, because he's not that good at it. I hope he does. But yeah, they came over for the wedding a couple of weeks ago. We didn't have it. We decided not to have it in Belfast because Hugo's got a really nice
house in his parents do in Gloucestershire, and it's just a perfect magical place for a wedding. So yeah, exciting.
How has it been growing up in Belfast?
Oh, with all the troubles and things. I'm quite lucky because I didn't really. I mean, what age was I? I was 16 when 1993, the Good Friday Agreement was. No, sorry. 1993 was the IRA ceasefire, and then 1998 was the Good Friday Agreement. So I was kind of growing up in my teens during that. So I was lucky that, you know, we progressed so much during the time of my life, where I recall more, do you know. So as a child, you grow up with what you know. So my dad always says that, you know, I always think sometimes, oh, I don't know if I could live in the countryside in the middle of nowhere, or I could, you know, or I don't know if I could live here. And dad's like, well, you know, if you'd lived there all your life, you would know it, and that would be it. And in the same way, I guess, growing up with the Troubles, it just became part of life. And, you know, thankfully it's all kind of, you know, died away and died a death. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who've been badly hurt, and, you know, I've got a few friends who've, you know, suffered through it. And, you know, I've watched them suffer, but thankfully haven't had any bad or saddening stories myself. But it's strange to go back, because when you go back to Belfast, it's just like, because there used to be barracks everywhere, like, you know, kind of army on the streets, soldiers, and that was such a fixture for so long. And now, you know, there's this empty wasteland, and, you know, where the barracks and that used to be. So it's definitely good news, and it's on the up in terms of kind of nightlife and going out. So, you know, they're starting to develop more of the kind of nicer parts of Belfast, whereas before you just couldn't really go into town. If you're a young boy growing up, it would have been after a certain time of the night, it would have been quite dangerous. So now it's great, and there's lots more people going. There's lots of foreigners who've gone to live there. Like when I grew up, it was just people from Belfast. Nobody wanted to go there. And so now it's become, certainly not cosmopolitan, but you do, they've got lots of different communities. You've got like Filipino community, you know, it's really, that I really like when I go back and see that, and see tourists and see people from France and Spain coming to visit, which I just never seen growing up. Yeah, so.
And going back to the plinth, what are you personally hoping to gain from this experience?
Well, I think it's a really good, really, really good use of space. And I like the way, you know, Anthony is using people, because people are, you know, no matter what you do, it's something unique, isn't it? And some form of art. So I think that's something that's really important. And I think, you know, in the middle of Trafalgar Square, middle of London, and other people have got different points of view. And it's, those things, not often that, you know, art is, it should be more interactive. And I like the way Anthony does that with his blind light. You know, you've got the enclosure of people, and he brings everybody together in the same way the plinth brings a lot of people together. People draw together to come and see you on the plinth. Other people walk by, have a look. You know, it's kind of, I think it's a great work.
And who would you say you're doing it for?
For me, of course. I'm not, for everyone, for friends, I don't know. I haven't really given it that kind of thought, but yeah, I guess it's quite a scary thing. So I've more been thinking about myself than anybody else, which is probably very selfish. But hey ho.
And do you have any hopes or fears about going up there?
Yeah, well, it's quite, I guess. People, I don't like people looking at me, which isn't great. So it's kind of, I guess, a fear that I'll have to overcome. Do you know, I don't mind being on a stage and acting, because you act somebody else, but walking up as yourself is quite daunting. And people thinking, look at that weirdo, she's such an oddball, she's wearing her like wedding dress, she looks like Mrs. Havisham from Great Expectations, like maybe she was like left at the altar. I don't know. My father sent me a message saying, make sure you tell people you're not Mrs. Havisham. I was like, Daddy, or Miss Havisham, because she never married. She was left on her wedding day, very sad. But yeah. So, and also think about marriage as well, because I believe in marriage like very strongly, and believe I'm Catholic, and you know, believe that in church marriages, and I think it's that, you know, I'd like to put across as well, the importance of it. I mean, I know everyone's got their own taste, their own point of view, and, you know, their own religions, but, you know, do you think that, you know, there is a sanctity of marriage and it should be respected, you know?
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop here.
Okay, no, that's fine.
But thank you so much.